Welcome to Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. Join us weekly as we learn to dance with change and transformation. And now, here with today's program is David Holtz.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you may be, whatever time that you're listening to us. I want to welcome you to a podcast of Spirit, Science, and Sound. We're going to be covering a lot of different subjects, and a lot of those subjects are going to be a way of empowering ourselves to know why we are here on this planet at this time, and what can we do to change the course of nature and of life itself. I talk sometimes about the things that other people don't want to talk about, but we need to talk about. We don't need to always have our heads in the sand and trying to be in some kind of so-called, quote-unquote, spiritual denial about what's going on in our planet and in our very lives. So we want to look at them and let them fit into a context of spirituality. So let's talk on this podcast today. See, I'm from the old days of broadcasts, so we're going to be talking about the crises of life. Now, you say that doesn't sound very positive to me, but stay with me, and you're going to see how powerful it is that we're in a time in which life, as we know it, has become very unstable and chaotic, and in a state of crises. There's a quote that says, every journey has a secret destination of which the traveler is unaware. Martin Buber said that. And it's true. I wished I had a crystal ball and we could just look at exactly where are we going in the next 6 months, 1 year, 5 years from right now, as inhabitants of planet Earth, but I can't tell you that. I know there are those that say they can, but I'm not sure anything is set in stone as to what our future is. We are learning that our future lies in the power of ourselves to co-create, to be participating in what the future is going to be on this planet at this time. We're at a very interesting point of making a decision on which direction we want to go. We can use our power in two different ways. We can use our power to destroy ourselves, and I'll talk about that in just a moment, or we could use our power to evolve ourselves. It was sort of like when we discovered the power of the atom and how we could use it. And we've used it many times in ways to destroy, but it also can be used in a way to evolve us and give us a better life. So it is up to consciousness. It's not up to just the laws of politics. It is not the decisions of just governments or other systems, but it is the work of consciousness. People ask me sometimes what I'm a part of, and I'm very comfortable to say I'm a part of the conscious movement, the ability of consciousness to evolve itself. All around us, in the last very few years, in the relation of time itself, have we evolved ourselves with great technology and a lot of wonderful gadgets that we use every day on the outside. But if we do not raise our consciousness to a level to meet this technology, it's something that can be a blessing in the beginning, but maybe betray us in the end. And we don't want that to happen. So we want to work smarter, not just harder, as they say. So let's look at this whole idea about what crises means. Now, crises can mean everything from a political crisis all the way to the medical, educational. Any system is sort of in a state of crises right now. But it also can bring it back to you, to your body, what you're going through physically, mentally, and emotionally. Now, I'm one of those voices that is out there who can say that I've been on a so-called spiritual path for over half a century. I have done everything that I've been told is available to me to help to develop myself to a state of so-called enlightenment. I have prayed, I have done affirmations, I have tried to totally walk in positive thinking. I have done so many things that I wouldn't have time to name all of them for you. And I don't regret a thing that I've done. And in some way, I gleaned something from that that has made me who I am today and has positioned me on my path in the position that I'm in today. So I'm certainly not trying to down anything that we've all done, but I feel that a lot of us would say we have not quite arrived at the place that we may have thought we would have been in at this particular time. So has something gone wrong? Is some creator up there tuned us out and said, I don't think I can help those that are on planet Earth? Are we being punished for something that we've done or haven't done? These are questions that are valid questions that I hear all across the country from people that I deal with. And we need to answer and address some of these questions that may be consciously or unconsciously in all of us. So what we're learning today is that we are in a state of maturation. We're in a place of evolving to a whole new epoch of what it means to be human on this planet. When we look at our past and our history, and we look past and go back as far as 100,000 to 50,000 years ago, we realize that in that particular epoch, which we called Epoch One, we developed physically. We had a particular value system that attended to that of a child, our infancy. It was a value system in which was basically feminine. We arrived at that point in our childhood development, again, as I said, somewhere between 100,000 and 50,000 years ago. And we realized at that point that we were a part of a larger world and subject to forces beyond ourselves. We began to look upward into the heavens, and we began to become stargazers, and we began to wonder about what was beyond ourselves as inhabitants of our Earth and our planet. We begin to have an appreciation for life, the water, the food, the rain that came down from above us and from the heavens. And therefore, we begin to recognize a sustaining power of the feminine in the worship of Mother Earth, the Mother Earth goddess. When we look at our own lives, we realize in our infancy that most of us clung to the mother. The mother was the nurturer, the one that was there. We entrained our heartbeats with her heartbeat at the time that we were maybe breastfeeding from her, if we did that. Or when we were held close and comforted, we entrained with the heartbeat of mother. And so in our early childhood, we also developed a heartbeat and pulse with our Mother Earth. There was really no religions as we know religion today. There was not even a religion called spirituality. You know, today everybody's so proud to say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. But we still have remained somewhat within the religious model of our spirituality in many cases. There was no such of a model at this particular time. People lived pretty much from the level in which they've evolved, and that was the instinct for survival, the survival of the species, the feminine, the woman, the place in which physical life could be conceived and could find its place of gestation, to be formed, to be birthed as another human being, begin to be the focus of what we might call today worship. In other words, the feminine and the womb of the feminine became a sacred place, a place in which for the male to enter in was a sacred act. When I was studying my Bible days and all of the things of the Old Testament that were abominations, I found that the whole perception of this time was seen as very low human, basic sexual perception of such things as orgies and whatever. I find that so sad that it has been changed to that when it was a very sacred time for all of us who were looking at what we saw through the development of our five senses, and that we saw that the woman was that which created the physical life and brought it forth. Then 10,000 years ago, approximately 10 to 12,000 years ago, let's say, we entered into a whole new epoch. And it was the epoch in which we begin to experience the maturation and transformation of building a human psyche, the human mind. This entered into the place of adolescence, our mental development, or what is called our ego. Now, the ego merely means in this context a place in which we developed a sense of ourself, a sense of ourself. And we begin to develop that sense of ourself based upon how we saw and perceived on the outside of ourselves. Now, I believe, anyway, that we have two ways of looking at the self. We have a self that we truly are, meaning the very essence or core or substance of the beingness of ourself. That is really who we are. But it seems like we've gone toward a self that we have made out of the perception and way in which we have looked at ourselves. And oftentimes we've gotten the cue from that which is outside of ourselves. So what I'm saying is we've built another us out of the perception of who we think we are. So there's who we really are, and there's who we think we are. And we call that the pseudo-ego. Freud talked about this ego in his work, Psychology. But there is a real ego. There is an ego of authentic true self that always remains intact, but often buried under all of the perceptions of the pseudo-self. So we begin to lose that place with ourselves as we entered into our state of adolescence. Now, I can sit here and think back at what it was like to become an adolescent. I've watched my own child become an adolescent, and now I'm ready to go through watching my grandchildren become adolescents. And it's not an easy time. Adolescence is a difficult time. All you hear is you're too young or you're too old for this or that. It's a time in which you're trying to separate from your first experience of being nurtured and taken care of, and the security of having tribe and having those to take care of you and be there. As you begin to feel that pull away, maybe it's about the time that we turn 5 or 6, around that age that we begin to go to either kindergarten or nursery school or to school itself, that we begin to connect with people outside of that experience as we begin to connect ourselves to friends at school. These are people that don't have to take care of us like our tribe did. We don't share genetic material with them. So we have to develop a new sense of self, a self that we want to be liked, we want to be accepted. And of course, this being very natural, but at the same time very dangerous, on how we do that, is going to affect us the rest of our life, actually. So we go from the first epoch, which is our development of being a child, looking to Mother Earth to take care of us, the food, the water. We looked up into the sky and realized that the water came from the Father Sky. So we had this wonderful experience of adolescence. Then we grew into the time of adolescence, from a childhood into adolescence, which was a time, again, of transformation, of developing the human ego or the human psyche. And we began to have a mental development. And this began to bring us toward a more masculine perspective. And we begin to connect ourselves to Father God. Now, instead of holding on to the memory of the first epic of our evolution, which was with the feminine and which the mother, we began to go toward more all masculine, male, Father God thinking or a way of perceiving. And of course, that brings us in to where things begin pretty much in the Christian text of the Bible. The Bible begins with a very strong masculine male God called Jehovah or Yahweh. This God was a God of law, a lot of laws, 600 and I believe 13 or so laws are mentioned in the Old Testament itself. It was all about appeasing this male God who for some reason seemed to be a little angry about something. And finally, we come to a place in which we have a different point of view as we move toward the last 2,000 years, in which we begin to see actually teachers beginning before that, such as Buddha, and then we had the Christ in the form of Jesus or Yeshua, who began to teach more of love. So we were trying to move from more fear-based to love-based systems and thinking. Well, what we've ended up with is kind of a mixture of both. And that's what we find in more organized type of Western religion. We have a real mixture of love. God loves us, but there's a lot of laws. And if we don't keep the laws, then maybe God doesn't love us so much. So that's left people in an interesting state. And we're trying to move into the next epic. And that is the one that this particular podcast is going to be addressing quite a bit. And that's how do we move into a time that calls us to adulthood or a co-creative place in which we are active in creation of creating our future. Human life has been built on the propensity for growing toward health and wholeness in body, mind, and in spirit. So there is something innate and inherent in all of us to reach for that. Remembering the time of the 60s, to me, was a time in which something took place in the sense of a new energy was released within the human soul. I'm not sure we had a model of what to do with all of that. Religion was not there really to help us to know how to channel that energy in a more positive and spiritual manner. And we didn't find it much in other systems. So people was pretty much left on their own, but the energy that we saw that began to be awakened within the collective human soul as a nation especially, was that that began to move those who had been put in a box, those who had been isolated, the subcultures, Native American people did not want to be on just their side of town, but begin to redefine themselves as they begin to feel the energy to arise out of where they had been put for many, many, many years. Women begin to feel restless and begin to feel more of their potential and possibilities of doing more than just have children and just keep some male happy with cooking and the things they're doing. I'm not putting those things down at all. I'm thankful and recognize the beauty of it. But I think women realized that they wanted to be and have a greater contribution to our planet. And we've seen this going on now for all these years. I can't tell you we've seen the fruition of it, but we've seen people begin to make changes because that energy was released in them. And I feel that you and I are living in a time in which another new surge of energy is being released on us to go to the next level, to bring this thing to more fruition. And that's where I have a great passion in the work that I do, and that is helping to work with what is trying to break through. I know a lot of people are concerned about what's breaking down, as I'm sure we all are, but actually we can make a choice to work with trying to fix it, or we can work with what's trying to break through. And we certainly do have the wisdom in which we can make those choices. 15 years ago, I came to a crossroads in my life in which I was given that choice. Somehow in meditation and contemplation, I began to have something come up in me in the form of a question. And I interpret that question as very much being that, can, do you want to work with what's breaking down or what's breaking through? Now, I certainly did not know what that even meant at that time. But something beyond my brain began to let me know I was choosing to work with what's breaking through. And I have found out that what is breaking through is a higher dimension of energy. Now, before we talk about that, let me remind you that we all need to look at where we are now. We're going to break right now for a little word from our sponsor. And don't leave us, because we're going to really get into understanding what is breaking through and what is breaking down and how to know the difference. Be back with you in just a moment.
We'll return to today's edition of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with David Holtz after this word from our sponsor, Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Holtz at the turn of the century. Utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
And now we return to today's topic on science, sound, and spirituality. Here's Master Teacher David Holtz.
We want to welcome you back to our podcast today, and we're talking about crises and chaos and why things are breaking down all around us, that all the systems of the world seem to be in great stress at this particular time. I want to take time to just give you a number in which you'd like to call us or contact us. Is 888, that is 627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. The question that we were asking before we took the break was, how do we know what's breaking through and what's breaking down, and how do we know the difference? Well, I asked that question 15 years ago when I moved into the work that I'm doing with energy and vibration. And what I heard was, we need to awaken our inherent wisdom. Now, a lot of us know about knowledge. There's knowledge everywhere. We're in the age of information. We're all reading books. There's so much on the internet. We can learn. But if we don't know how to use what we're learning, we may be in trouble. So we need to spend some of that time really cultivating that inner ability of wisdom. And wisdom is the ability to know the difference in what's breaking down and what's breaking through. So what is breaking down? What is breaking down is old patterns. We call them systems. Patterns of collective thinking that has developed a system of science, a system of religion, a medical system, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All the financial system, I mean, look what with the housing, we've seen all of this under great distress that is around us now. Now, the only reason for breakdown is because of what's breaking through, and that's important. So things aren't breaking down because we're being punished or breaking down because we've done something wrong. It's breaking down because it's fulfilled its purpose and its mission. Now, not only is this happening out there in all these world systems, but it's happening in the systems which you experience every day in your life. You got physical, mental, emotional, you've got astral, you've got all these different energy frequency bodies that is constantly in interconnection with each other throughout the day. I thought, and I'll just speak for myself, as I said earlier, I've been decades in spiritual work, most of my life from a young man, and I thought by now I would be practically entering a state of immortality. Well, I'm far from that. I've got challenges physically. I got challenges mentally, emotionally, sleep patterns, forget where I put my keys sometimes. And of course, the old diagnosis is you're getting older, you're losing your memory, you're going into dementia, all these kind of things. Well, I don't think so. When I go and get these things checked out, I'm pretty good shape. So I had to look elsewhere for my diagnosis. I had to find somebody who could energetically diagnose me and see what's really going on. And what I've learned is that we're going through a maturation of changing of pattern. We are no longer the human that we once were, even 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago. We're a species that is changing. And in doing that, we are changing to something new, something different. The interesting part of this whole experience of transformation is that we can't leave out this stage or point in which the old has to break down and become unstable as the new is coming in. Now, some people could call that birth pains. You know, before birth happens, birth pains come. But let's look at something more scientifically. Let's look at the fact of when substances change, whether it's hydrogen or anything, changes its form, it goes into a state of instability. What makes it up goes into a place of crises or disorder or chaos. And it literally breaks down all the way to the molecular level. Now, some people say, well, that's not a good thing. But wonder if I told you it's a spiritual thing. Sometimes spiritual things don't have to be good things or bad things. They're just what happens in the process of things changing themselves. And as I said earlier, there is that innate drive of evolution to always evolve itself to the next stage of what its potential is to become. And my question to you and to myself, are we living at that juncture? Are we living at that time? Are we actually living it to the point that we're participating in it? You know, quantum physics tells us that we are not just on the sidelines watching all of this being done, but we're actually players in the game of life. That what we feel and what we think and what we make decisions and choices about is affecting how things are patterning themselves. Everything is energy, but consciousness patterns that energy. So it's important that we understand that when things begin transformation, it begins by instability. That's how we know that transformation has actually begun, is because everything begins to separate and they begin to go into instability. Researchers have watched in amazement as more and more of these what we call seeds of tranquility magically continue to separate themselves from what they call their neurotic brethren. And that is an interesting term. And to achieve peace and tranquility. It says as the numbers of particles separating themselves increase, they begin to gather. So at some point in the midst of all of the chaos, and in the midst of all of the crises and instability, for some reason that we're not sure, something causes some parts of that chaos to separate itself. Let's say a molecule just separates itself and goes over here and gets quiet. Now, you might see that as a metaphor for like when you separate yourself from the hustle and bustle of everyday life in third dimension, all dealing with the traffic, dealing with work, dealing with the computer, all of that, and you just take that moment to go meditate, and you just get quiet. Well, that's what this, say, one molecule does. It just separates itself and gets quiet. And when it does, it draws another molecule to it, and then the magic happens. There's something about when two, at least two or more, come together, that they begin to create this field, this electromagnetic field of attraction. It's called synergy. And from that, two or four are attracted. Four becomes 16, and so on and so forth, until they create what scientists have called little communities of pods. Pods. And as these pods begin to gather and begin to come to the point that we call critical mass, it causes the whole system to leap and jump forward into a higher state. Now, I'm proposing that as a metaphor of hope for our future, that those of us who have somewhat separated ourselves from the hustle and bustle of the direction in which the third dimensional world is going, and have sort of stopped and stepped back and looked at things. I don't know about you, but I looked at the mass media. Where is that taking us? If we're listening 24/7 at what is coming through the media, all of the bad news and all of the fear-based news and all of the hopelessness, if we continue to connect into that, then we are going to feed that. So it's important that enough people step back and become ways in which we can step out of the chaos and all of the fear-based information and misinformation that is going out there to create this new pod of light workers. I'm not much for labels, but I really like this term, light workers. I believe that there are those who are living on our planet that have incarnated, who by incident will run into this particular talk and other talks out there and connect and hear the call in their heart to come forth and to become committed and active in what we can do to change our planet and the direction in which it is going. So I'm excited about that. So what is breaking through that's causing the breakdown? Well, let me remind you that, as I've said, we live in a third dimensional space world. We mostly see the world through the five senses, which we call perception. Can't always trust perception because things are not as they seem or appear to be. We're taught that by a lot of teachers through the many, many centuries have taught us not to look at things on the surface, but to look deeper. And it is time we go deeper. We keep going further and further in technology, but we mustn't take that as a way of not spending time into the depths of the soul and learning the deeper meanings of things and life itself and purpose that we can. Now, Einstein says we live in three dimensions, and then we add a fourth dimension, which is time, relative. So if I give someone three bits of information where to meet me, they can find me in space, and then I can tell them what time, and we have connected in time and space. So moving beyond time-space continuum, we could call the next dimension, just for conversation and communication, fifth dimension. So what is breaking in is the next dimension of energy that is beyond the energy of third, fourth that we live in the everyday world. And as it's trying to break through, there is resistance from that which has been the old patterns because we've become familiar with them. So therefore, it has to cause the chaos. The chaos is the breaking down of the old patterns. This is a good thing in the sense that when old patterns are broken down into a chaotic state, then it has the possibility to reorganizing itself at a higher state. Now, the modality that I teach has to do a lot with pure vibration and sound through tuning forks. And one of the things that I stress and teach to all my students that I've taught for the last 15 years is that we have to return back to vibration, to vibration. Everything begins by vibration, because when we have vibration and we change vibration, then pattern, the energy follows it into the pattern that the vibration makes. Maybe some of you have heard of Hans Jenny's work, which has become popular with you who do energy work, if you do that out there, called cymatics, in which we have scientific proof and show it in all our workshops, how that the sound of a bow on a steel plate will repattern flower or whatever. Well, this is amazing because this is the way in which we can repattern our world, is by putting out vibration. Now, you can put vibration out in the form of sound, or you can put vibration out in the form of intention. So we can do many things in a way to emanate through our heart the vibration of love until we reach a critical mass, until love can overcome war. Or we can continue. Next week, I'm having a wonderful guest, and I hope you won't miss it. Lawrence Tolliver, who wrote the book, Here's Peace, A Vision of Global Demonstration of Peace, is going to be with me. We're going to interview him, and he is a powerful, amazing advocate for peace. And he's going to be on the next broadcast next week. So be sure and tune in for that. So what we're on here for is to put out the clarion call that we need more light workers. We need more people to join this spiritual pod, that we're going to call it, this community of those that are going to not bow down to what our five senses is telling us and what we're seeing and all the fear-based and all the breakdown that is going on, but we're going to hold a higher vision. Now, everything that I'm telling you about is so understood in one word, metamorphosis. Let's talk about that when we come back from our break time. What does metamorphosis have to do with us individually and as a species? Be back in just a moment.
We'll be back with more of today's program on science, sound, and spirituality after this word from Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Hulse at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
Now back to today's program on science, sound, and spirituality with David Holtz.
You back to our subject today, which is, I guess we could say it is the positive side of chaos and crises. So we're trying to look into this whole process of transformation that is being talked about in so many books and so many lectures and workshops all over the world. Everybody's talking about transformation. So all we were talking about is understanding it from the point of view of this process we call metamorphosis. Now, when I was a Bible student teacher many, many years ago and learned Greek, well, I found out that there was four times in the New Testament that the word for renewal or change or transformation came from the Greek word metamorpho, which is the word metamorphosis. I want to ask everyone who is listening to me a question. I want you to think about this question. Does the caterpillar go through this entire process to emerge on the other side as an enlightened caterpillar? Of course, the answer is no, it doesn't. It goes through this to reorganize itself into a higher manifestation of its species. It literally becomes the butterfly, as we know. To do that, it has to allow itself to become so unstable that it literally becomes something like glue. It just becomes mush, we call it. Then I read the most interesting thing. I wish I had the reference of this, but some scientists were kind of studying and trying to figure out what happens that out of this goo that this caterpillar becomes, that something starts the process of it reforming itself into the body of the butterfly. And what they came up with was a unusual manifestation of a new molecule. And they didn't know what to call this molecule, and somebody just said, well, let's call it the imaginative molecule. And I thought, that's really powerful. I don't know if they knew what they were saying, but they were saying out of the imaginative molecule begin the reorganizing of all the molecules in the state of chaos to reorganize into the next form. Well, can that be going on in your life? Can it be going on in my life? So I want to spend a little time bringing it home to you, the listener, and what is going on. Crises. You know, the Chinese pictogram for crises is not made up of just one, but two signs. The first one means danger, and the second one means opportunity. Isn't that interesting? So the word, or what they call pictograms, for crises in Chinese means either danger or opportunity. That's exactly the crossroads that we're in. We can, a lot of danger out there. We hear it every day. But it's an opportunity, not just to fix it, but to evolve it into a whole new experience. I have heard some call the next stage for humans something like moving from Homo sapien to Homo universalis. I've also heard, and I really like this one, moving from Homo sapien sapien to Homo luminous. I really like that one because that says that we are becoming a more light, or lighter, we can say, species of people. I think it's absolutely arrogant for us to think that this is the limit and the level that creation has brought us to. We have so much potential. We use very little bit, 3 to 5% of our genetic material. We use less than 10% maybe of our consciousness. Most of self is laying there as potential and possibility. And we need new ways to awaken that. And I believe new sounds, new vibrations that are coming in, that are in a line with fifth dimension, is going to awaken that in all of us. So if you kind of feel like you've hit a ceiling with your life, like it should be a lot further by now than where you are, and you thought things are going to be a lot more enlightened and spiritual for your life, and you'd be in prosperity now, or you'd have the perfect co-creative partner in your life, or the best job that you've ever wanted to do, all of that, please don't be discouraged and realize that we are in for a breakthrough if we learn how to work with this new energies and these new principles that this energy is bringing in. The truth is, we can choose how to respond to the crises of our lives. We are the center of our power. We're not just helpless victims of despair and hopelessness. We, all of us, can reconnect with our own inner power to choose our victor response. A friend put it this way. Says to me, and talking about crises, said, I felt like I've been pushed off of a ledge. The fear of feeling helplessly and falling to my inevitable crash and destruction was incredibly tense. Then he says, part way down, however, I decided it was time to learn to fly. Well, here we are. It looks like we're falling deeper and deeper and deeper into all of this that's going on into the planet, in the sense of all this fear-based terrorism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe it's just time we learn how to fly. Seeing the crisis of our life as an unwelcome companion can at the same time be used to thrust us into life's journey. I have come from a long way in the 6 decades that I've been on this planet. I started out very fundamentalist in religion. And people ask me all the time, how did you end up where you are, speaking about the things you do, teaching sound and using tuning forks all in one lifetime? Well, it has not been all of the great blessings of my life that has done that. It has been the crises of my life. The crises is what has made me dig deeper. It's what has made me step across boundaries and lines that didn't even feel comfortable because I were taught they weren't places for me to go into. It was unchartered. But I went anyway, because if you get desperate enough, you will get out of your box and you will try things that you wouldn't have tried, or listen to things you wouldn't have listened to, or read books you would not have ever read. And it's been those things that has given me the depth that I'm experiencing at this point in my life. And I feel that you that are listening, if you're going through anything, whether it's physical, mental, if you've gone through divorce, if you've lost a job, if you've had a split up with a companion or a significant other, if something like that is going on in your life, then it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. You know, it is quoted by Chardin, Desjardins, that says to us that if we look through sacred eyes, everything in life becomes sacred. So we can start seeing things different. This is where we can begin. If you're asking me, where do I begin? Let's begin with an entire shift in our perception world of how we perceive. Let's look deeper. So everything starts with how we view the world, ourselves, and each other. So if we choose to look at things with cynical eyes, we see plenty of evidence, and there's plenty of it out there, how far short we are of our own potential and our own capacities. If we look with pessimistic eyes, there's certainly evidence to support the despair about our future. But if we look at them with sacred eyes, or I should say the eye of enlightenment, we can see the larger and more realistic picture. People who look with sacred eyes can penetrate down through the opaqueness of materialism and the reductionism of our so-called world of matter. We can look deeper and deeper and look for the purpose and meaning for the next stage of our evolution. People with sacred eyes look to the big questions. I've never been good to just deal with specifics because I feel like if I just take care and fix this, if that's broken, then something else will break again. So why don't we look at wholeness? I remember when the teacher was walking and there was a man who went down, it says, and wanted to get healed, and everybody was getting healed at this spatial water, and he wasn't getting it. But when he met the inner presence of the divine in himself, he was given this question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" So I'm asking, there's something better than just a healing or fixing something that's broken, but there is a place of wholeness in all of us that we need to learn to get there. So through sacred eyes, we can see and look at the bigger questions. And certainly in our times that we're in now, it calls for a living and loving perception to be seen beyond what appears to be. We simply can't afford any more to have our vision constricted by the small questions, limited. We need a new perspective. We need to move to the next level of what it means to be a human on this planet. Are you feeling those growing pains? Are you experiencing those birth pains? It's becoming very increasingly clear to me that the study of the evolution of human consciousness is the science for the 21st century. We basically have had over four decades of unprecedented interest in such things as quantum physics, ecology, mystical religions, and interpersonal psychology. And it seems like all of that is trying its best to synthesize itself into a new spiritual common sense. I like that. For the first time in thousands of years, mass consciousness is shifting to a new holistic and spiritually based worldview. So we are definitely on the threshold of our own evolution. And the question is, if these energies are at work, wouldn't there be highly advanced techniques for individuals of global healing enlightenment around every turn? The answer is yes and no. Yes, the genie is out of the bottle as far as the emergence of enlightened thinking. But you know what? It takes more than enlightened thinking. It takes the action of it becoming a manifestation. So at the same time that we're having enlightened thinking, we're at the highest level of crises in human history. So being on the threshold rather than fully experiencing our transcendent evolution puts us between two worlds. Well, my friend, maybe this is what you have chosen. Maybe this is the contract of living at this time between two worlds. Greg Braden talks about that, living between two worlds. The Native American prophecies of the Hopis tells us that we're living in a world that is ending and a world that is beginning called a world of purification, that everything is going to purify itself. When I look at what's happening in the Middle East and all over the world in the form of violence and terrorism, to me, it's just the deep toxicity that is emerging on the body politic. And that's why there's a call for healers to come and let's work with this and let's change things. I want to thank you so much for being with me on this podcast today, and I hope you'll tell friends about it and be with us next week. Again, we're going to be with Lawrence Tolliver, an advocate for peace, and he's going to talk about how we can participate in a global effort to change our world to a world of peace. Be sure and check out our website and see what we're about at SomaEnergetics.com, and we will see you next week. So may you have a wonderful and great day or evening in your life. Till next time, thank you.
This has been a presentation of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. For more information, visit us at www.lightwithin.com. We invite you to join us every week here on BBS Radio for this insightful program. Until then, this is your announcer, Deborah Fitch, reminding you that your life is a gift, but your journey is a choice. Thank you for choosing to spend a part of your journey with us.